We've been, before we started our series leading up to Easter, I had been into some messages, a series about the parable of the sower. And the question we were asking is, am I good soil? Am I good soil? Can you say that? Am I good soil? And we hope so. I hope I am. And we found out that Jesus describes the conditions of the heart that do not produce the fruit of the kingdom. He shows what doesn't work. But the goal that I, and you know, a parable is basically like a box of Cracker Jacks. A box of Cracker Jacks, you open it up and it has a prize on the inside. And Jesus told stories with a hidden truth inside of them. And when you opened up and learned it, and it's interesting, the more you meditate on it, the more you think about the parables, the more the treasure or the prize on the inside begins to come up. So, for instance, somebody in Jesus' day, he would teach a parable, and they'd be going home, and they'd be like maybe doing the dishes, thinking about what he said, because they want to know more, and suddenly the lights come on. Oh, wow. Oh, I know what he's talking about. That kind of thing. And also the nature of the parables is because he wanted to assure the timing of his crucifixion. When he started off, he just, you know, basically told in-your-face truth, you know, like the Sermon on the Mount. It was a little parabolic stuff in there, but pretty much it was just in-your-face, like shining the light. And they wanted to kill him right away, and we got 3 years to go. So how are we going to slow this thing down and time it? So he came up with parables. And when he would teach the parables, even when the Pharisees would look at each other and say, I think that one's against us. You know, they would react to these things, but they didn't know for sure. But that's just part of how he goes about this. And then he explains that this particular parable, the parable of the sower, is the most important one to understand. And if you don't understand this one, you won't get any of them much. So there's a key, like a big key that you want to put in and turn this thing and catch it. And he says that, I kind of think of it like this. How many of you know the process of learning? The process of learning is, first is this, you don't know what you don't know. Then the next phase is, now you know what you don't know. And then the next phase is, now you start to grow into learning what you don't know. And then comes the finally, you know now what you didn't know. It's the same with walking with Jesus. There's so much we don't know. And we didn't know we didn't know. So many people in the world don't know how deeply he loves them. They just don't know. But then it comes to a point when you begin to know what you don't know. You're aware. I don't know about him. And there's something that comes up in your heart. And you want to explore more because it's rough out there. There's a lot of pain, and we'll get into that in a minute. There's a lot of pain and pressures and things, and how do I get to the one? And then you open up, you come into a place like this where we're talking the sense that Jesus talked about, and you begin to respond to him. That, first of all, Jesus is the sower in the story of the sower, the sowing of the seed, the parable of the sowing of the sower there. But Romans chapter 10, verse 14 starting through 17 says this, and listen to this, how will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, for they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I want to say to you, anybody that shares with anyone the good news of Jesus is the sower. And those seeds that you carry and you're knowing who Jesus is, and when people are in a tough spot and you're prayerfully caring about them and you say things about the Lord, you are the preacher that's been sent. You are the sower of the seed, and sometimes the soil is broken up just good enough to where it begins to take and germinate. Now, if we looked at soil number one, and soil one, number one, I kind of renamed the soils. There's the hard soil, remember, the path, and I called those the trampled on. People that are just hard-hearted because they've been trampled on so much. And so the seed just bounces off. And then there's the tumbleweeds, the people who don't really take root, and after a while they just roll around from place to place. They never got it. They were happy, but when the persecution came for the word's sake, they just kind of hightailed it. Then there's the ones we're going to look at are the thorn-choked. The thorn-choked is unfruitful soil. And then lastly, the treasured hearts we'll get to next week, the fruitful soil. Now, what happens when the first soil is the trampled on people and the seed just bounces off? Were you like that? Were you like that where the first hearing of the gospel is just, it's just a religious stuff. Just bounces off. I don't want that stuff. You know, just bounces off. And here's the deal. In reality, now let me go ahead and say the way that I have approached this is I do not look at the hard soil being permanent. I don't look at what we're looking at is what a farmer really does is he's got, I want to expand the field, and I had a path over here. Actually, I had a dirt road, but I'm just going to go ahead and plow that thing up. Because I'm going to put the road somewhere else. And so you could be trampled on, but it's time to plow it up. See, and the answer to the hard heart is to plow it all up. And the plowing up, it says in Hosea 10, verse 12, part of the verse says, break up your uncultivated ground. It is time to seek and search diligently for the Lord, to long for his blessing until he comes and rains righteousness and the gift of salvation upon you. You can't, and look, let me, how many of you found out that life will break you up? Somebody's going to come and plow up that heart. Hard circumstances can put, and you can start to open up. It's like, damn, this is I need help. So your hardness of heart can be broken up just by, something can plow it up. Come along and plow it up. The second problem or challenge was the seed, the tumbleweed kind of people. This is the person without any real depth of character, and that the word springs up, and then they don't really go any distance with the Lord. Like I said a minute ago, they become offended. They come offended. How many of you? Come on, be real. Am I the only one that's ever been offended? Because I really didn't realize that when I followed Jesus, that his enemies would become my enemies. I had no idea. I was kind of naive. There are people that hate Jesus, and if you like Jesus, they hate you. It's like, wait a minute, we're all about love. We're about love. We're not about the hate thing, but, oh, we hate you because you quote what Jesus says. And it's horrible. It's like, well, I didn't know I was going to get all of his enemies too. And if you get offended at that, you'll just kind of be a tumbleweed and roll off. Not put your roots down. And the real answer, one of the verses says there's no moisture. With the tumbleweed, there's no moisture. The moisture is a symbol of the actual worship. How many of you realize when we're worshiping, when you have the seed of the word in you, that moisture goes in, that presence of God goes in, and it starts to grow inside. How many of you feel like you're growing in the real revelation of the love of God for your life? There's a confidence coming up inside of you. Just in sharing that song a minute ago, the way that he gave it to me, I love Jesus because he knows all my thoughts and he loves me anyway. He knows all my misgivings and horrible life, and he is so committed to me. I'm just like, oh. And I was discouraged the other day. Something I did. And the Lord flashes and gives me that song idea. You know, it's like, who are you? Nobody loves people like Jesus loves people. You're not going to find, if you can even copy him a little bit and spread it around, people are going to love you. Because we're to be a reflection of who he is, to be vessels of what he carries. And the real goal is that he wants to populate heaven with people who are like him, right? So anyway, the concept of the answer to the tumbleweed person, the answer here is that you need to develop some roots. And the hidden places, you know, a tree, when you look at a tree, you don't see all the roots, but the roots go down about as deep as high as the tree is. There's a lot going on down there. And the real hidden things are this. When nobody's looking and you're all by yourself and you have a repentant heart because you're dealing with an issue and nobody's there telling you to do it, but you want to have a change inside of you, so you take a heart of repentance before the Lord, say, help me with this struggle. Or you're by yourself all alone and you're just loving the Lord and worshiping Him and studying His Word and you're asking Him things, or you're praying for people, nobody sees you. The hidden things that nobody, the grace of God being taking root in your life when nobody's around. That's the kind of thing. That's a depth of character thing. And then when you'll stand your ground when things are against you. See, you don't have to be, look, you don't have to be a tumbleweed. You don't have to be shallow. You don't have to be a person that's blown around by every whim. You don't have to be that guy. You can be one that gets their roots down. You can develop character. Hey, it's your life. It's your life, right? You can do it. How many of you feel like me? I wish I'd have got started a long time ago. You can grow in these. You don't have to be offended. You can develop the inner resources partnering with the Lord. Are some of you happy? Tell me you're happy to be here now. Okay, now we're going to get into what our paper is about, and we're going to look at the third soil. I always used to think that they were progressive. I thought, okay, the hard-hearted thing, that soil is the worst. I was thinking that was the worst, you know. And then the next one, that's the second worst. And then the third one's the third worst. And now as I study this, the thorns, I don't think that way anymore. I'm thinking they're all bad. Oh, my God. These thorns are horrific. Oh, this is bad stuff. I got the, it says on your back of your notes, you can read it with me. It says, and the others are the ones among thorns. Look at somebody and say thorns. Thorns, thorns. Now, Jesus said, those are the ones who hear the word. They heard it, right? We heard it. What happened? The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things enter in and everybody say, choke it. They choke the word. And what? It proves unfruitful. It proves unfruitful. Now, Luke adds down there, he also adds the pleasures of life. And so we're going to look at these in a minute. So our first fill in the blank is thorns choke out the word of God and make it unfruitful. Thorns choke out what? The word of God. The word of God and make it unfruitful. The Old Testament gives us an insight into this word, thorn. And the thorns actually come up as a product of the original curse. When man sinned, he actually, in Genesis, chapter 3, verse 17, the second half of that verse, and verse 18, it says, cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. Now, there were no thorns and thistles before the fall. So after the fall come the thorns and the thistles. So get this. Thorns are indigenous to the soil. Sin is very much at home in the human heart. And like an ill weed, it grows quickly. Evil things come easy, for they are natural to our fallen nature. It's grace that's the exotic flower, the rare flower that takes cultivating. Grace, you got to work at. Doing the right things are rare, the rare flower things. Is it right? There was a Old Testament scripture in Isaiah. I have it as a reference on your notes so you can look at it later, but I put in the Amplified Version. I just want to get this stuff out here about the thorns. Thorns, it says in Isaiah 34:13 in the Amplified Bible, says thorns will come up in its fortified cities. Now, he's talking about a curse coming over the land. So, fortified cities. Now, watch this. This is the picture that's being painted here. Thorns will come up, and the size of these thorns are usually taller than a man on a horse. Now, that's some thorns. And it, so, the bleak picture of desolation and the use of the thorns in the Bible, it says, nestles and brambles in its fortified cities. And it says, then it will be a haunt for jackals, an abode for ostriches. And the creatures of the desert will encounter jackals. And then it throws in this kind of Canaanite religion stuff. It says, the hairy goat will call its kind, and Lilith, a night demon, will settle there. Basically, it's saying it's going to be a roosting place for the demonic. That the thorns are going to be where the wild animals are, where the things that nobody can get through it, because you get pricked and hurt and all this stuff. And so you got wild stuff. And there's these images of the thorny thing that grows over the fortress being a host site for demonic things in our lives. Have you ever run into people like that? They're just born, they're so prickly, and they got this seething underneath. And they're just mad people, and you get near them. And we used to have a saying a long time ago, say, we hug porcupines. Because people come in, and they've had a lot of things happen to them, and they're so prickly and so thorny. And what's happened? It's easy to give to that when you're hurt. It's easy to build up all that stuff in your life, isn't it? And so thorns, Jesus is looking at these thorns as, look, these thorns, they take away, they're natural to you. And it's the grace I'm giving you that's more like the rare exotic plant. That's the harder thing. And there are things that we give way to. In fact, thorns suck out the very nutrition out of the soil so that the other things can't grow. Thorns take up the nutrients. They take up everything that is needed. So in your life, in my life, when we're open up to these thorns growing in us, it ends up choking off the things of the Word of God. Now, I'm asking the Holy Spirit today to help us with this, because there's a quality of Holy Spirit life that you and I can receive to help get rid of the thorny things in our souls. How many of you feel like you might have a thorn or two? Okay. So this is, okay, get ready for number two. Are you ready? What is choking the Word of God out of you and making you unfruitful? And I've asked the Lord, could we make this fun today? Because this doesn't sound fun, does it? So I'm not going to try to laugh it off at all, but I do want to be honest about the things that choke off our life. What is choking the Word of God out of your life? So this is the question that I believe that's going to help us. I believe that, see, there are people, you can go, this, I've discovered this. You can be going down the road thinking you're loving the Lord, and something enters in and starts to be painful to you, and you don't deal with it. Or something begins to lure you away, and you go for a while, and you don't realize, you say, how did they get over here, and Jesus is way over there? What happened to me? And you don't even know. Well, Jesus actually explains the categories so you can know. And they're comprehensive. The Lord, when he says a little parable, he like downloads the whole, the wisdom and revelation of Jesus Christ is a phenomenon. So one little thing he can say, and you just dwell on it, it's like, oh, that's it. He's comprehensive in how he deals with things. So write on your paper, it's kind of small, but I give a little definitions of these, and maybe you want to circle them and see. But don't let anybody see what you circled. No, I'm kidding. You can do whatever you want. It might be a private prayer time between you and Jesus. And maybe somebody down front say, oh, man, I've just been dealing with this thing. And so here we go. The cares of the world. This is the definition of cares is to be drawn in different directions. That is so broad sweeping, isn't it? How many of you go, I got plenty of that? Now look, those are thorns. Those are thorns. Things that draw you in different directions. The other definition is to divide the mind. This is the word merimna. This is the word for anxieties here. It's the word, you can define it as worries. The root base of all of those things often are fears. Do you know our culture? We're supposedly the richest nation in the world, and we have more people on antidepressants than any other nation. Cares, distractions, things drawing us away in different directions. People are living with thorny hearts, and there's a temptation to suicide because of the thorns that have grown up. So that's one of them. And the answer there, of course, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all, not some. Let's just say it together. Casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Okay? Casting all. Does anybody have one? You know, one anxiety. Do you have one? You have one? So you got one? Okay. You got two? Anybody got two? Hey, but I'm going to get two. How many? Three. Three. You got sold. How many weighed down? Yeah, just a dozen. How many dozen anxiety? How many they keep coming by? You just get like what, like Pigpen in the cartoon, you know, it all just flies around. I'm full of anxieties. Yeah. That was a long time ago in Peanuts cartoon. So don't let the die fool you, you know. So cares. What are the cares that you need to bring before the Lord? What are those things? Because you can rule over them. Here's a big one. B, deceitfulness of riches. Now, the word deceitfulness in this blue letter Bible thing you can look up online and stuff, the definitions is how those, get this definition, delusion. Here's one, deceivableness. Have anybody here ever had this thought that if I just had more money, all my problems will be solved? Now, here's the thing about more money. Money is an amplifier. Money amplifies what's in you. What happens when you give someone who really struggles with addiction a bunch of money? I've seen guys that had houses and cars, and they have nothing now because they got when their parents died, they got the inheritance, and it all went away very quickly because money amplifies what's in you. If you have a heart for people, that money will be channeled to be a blessing. There's ways that you can use money, but money is so deceitful. Jesus actually said, you can't serve two masters. You give to one and you despise the other, or you follow one. He says, and so God and mammon are God and money. So that's one. And when this verse, I found this is the thorn verse. Let's look right down there. I know it's kind of small, but 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is a root. Love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. Look at this next line. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Isn't that amazing? That's thorns. That's the deceitfulness of riches wiping you up and causing pain in your life, and pain in your life, and pain piercing you through. Anybody have that? Listen, I want to say fear and worry and deceit about money, it happens for the people who have a lot of it. When you don't have the Lord, you worry about the amount of money you have and how to keep it. It doesn't give peace. That's the key thing about mammon. Mammon says, if you have more money, you'll be at peace. And then it's not true. You worry. You worry about it. It's without the Lord being your stay, your anchor, your rock in life, these things aren't going to be. Having it's fine when Jesus is Lord over all. Having it's great. It's not that, it's loving it more than loving the Lord. Where's the heart? What's your pursuits? The Lord can cause things to flow in your direction. He can cause favor to happen for you. So that's one of the things. That's a challenge. Is that kind of a challenge? Then let's look at the next one. The next thorn. These are the four types of thorns. Everybody say desire for other things. Now I looked up this one, and the basic definition is longing for what is forbidden. That's the definition in the Bible, longing for what is forbidden. And James 1:14-15 says, each person is tempted when he is lured away and enticed by his own desire. And then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it brings forth death. So desire for other things. When you're growing up in different phases of your life, there will always be other challenges and stuff. And you'll have this desire for other things. And you'll want to go and try stuff out. I remember when I first was young like these guys and I moved to Los Angeles. I remember when that movie, Staying Alive, Staying Alive. And there was all these places to go dance. And I went and I had a strong sense that the Lord was with me no matter where I went. And I did this stuff, and then I'd see people going and doing other stuff, and I'd go, I'm going home. Staying alive. Hate doing that. No. And there's this, but there's this desires that can come upon you, and if you give to them, I'm listening to folks that have fallen in all kinds. Well, this is the next category. Let's go ahead and jump in. These kind of weave together. Luke puts in his gospel the pleasure of this life. And when you go look up that word, it basically means sensual delight. And I believe what the Bible says, that sex and those things are reserved for a married man and woman. And everything else outside of that is a violation of God's law of relationships. There you go. And it doesn't matter how much you promote the other. Here's the thing. God is not mocked. Be not deceived. Whatsoever man sows, he'll also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. You just keep doing it, and life will fall apart for you somewhere down the road. But when you sow to the Spirit, to the Word of God, to the things that carry eternal weight, you will reap everlasting life. The God's blessing and breath and work is upon you. And we have a culture now that wants to fight you over that. Just watch a little time go by. There's many, 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 many turning to the Lord out of that, saying, this is not working. Many, many, many. So don't let anything other than love rule your heart when it comes to the brokenness of our culture. Did Jesus receive you when you were broken? Has he ever said, you know, I'm going to forgive you for everything, but no, the Lord forgives and forgets. I love that about the Lord. As far as the east is from the west, so far I've removed your transgressions from you. And you can't go, as far as the east is from the west, as long as you're going east and as long as you don't turn around, they're gone. So this pleasure verse, it says, here's Hebrews 11:25, choosing rather, this is Moses, it says of Moses, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. This is Moses' attitude. I don't want that stuff. I'd rather take the abuse of the world than to go jump in that stuff. And now, the last one, and we're not far from the end here. Number three, how do you make thorny ground fruitful? How do you make thorny ground fruitful? So I have a verse here, and I started scratching my head and thinking about this one. And let me go ahead and tell you what, first of all, has anybody, when they were little, like me, got a thorn in your finger? What did you do? You ran to mommy. You run to mommy. When the pain is profound, you run for the person who can help you remove the pain. And the tender mercies of mommy, she got to get that little needle and that stuff there and try to dig that little thing out, and that little broke off in there. Oh my, everybody's probably had that happen. Where you get some kind of thing inside of your, under your skin, it's just irritating you. Do you know that the same effect of the thorns that Jesus is talking about can drive you to him? When you're in pain, you can come and he will begin to remove what you're stuck with. Isn't that wonderful? This is the tender mercies of God. I have the verse here. I'll read it to you, but it's Jeremiah 1:10. It's basically the ministry of Jeremiah. And this is what it says. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms. This is a ministry that was given to Jeremiah. It's a ministry that the Holy Spirit puts inside of the church today. Here's the ministry, to pluck up. Everybody say, pluck up. You don't just pluck up anything, you pluck up bad things. You pluck up things that are in the way. You pluck up things that are to have taken root inside of you that are no good. This is what you pluck up. You don't pluck up the good things, you take out the bad things. There's a right. When you got, how many of you have a few things that need to be plucked up? In your heart, you say, I need something taken out of here. This thing's producing, this ain't working. I need some help. He pluck it up. He says, I'm going to pluck it up. I'm going to break it down. There's something about it. When you come to a fortress and it's all prickly and stuff, and you got to, this all kinds of, you got to deal with taking this thing down so you can re-inhabit it. To destroy it and to overthrow. To destroy and overthrow. So there's four things. Pluck up, break down, destroy and overthrow. And then it says to build and plant. To begin to make it new again. And so, how many of you want to really cultivate the rare gift of grace that God has given you? How many of you are developing, working with the Lord on walking in, cultivating this exotic flower called the love of Jesus Christ in your life? How many of you found out that sometimes people want to damage it? It takes some doing, doesn't it? Now look, I'm going to lead you in a prayer just right now in your seats, if you would like. You don't have to do anything. We don't pressure people to do anything here. But here's the point. Just like you come to Jesus as a little kid and you got pain in you, how many of you have done this to the Lord and you've had pain in you and the Lord takes pain out? Isn't He wonderful? That's why I love the Lord. There's nobody like Him. Never condemns, ever, ever, ever. You're never condemned. The only thing inside of you that condemns you is the voice that's against you, that's your own heart that wants to condemn you because of your own failure. And we're never going to give to that voice. We're never going to be the people that say, How did you do that all that bad? I can tell you, somebody asked me a long time ago, how come you guys are so good at helping people get rid of all kinds of hurts and demonic bondages and stuff? I said, I had all of it. I had deep roots of bitterness from abuse and rejection and just constant sense of something's wrong with me. I grew up thinking something's wrong with me. And I had to make sure that somehow I had to reject you first because I was afraid of the pain of being rejected all over again. So I just kind of navigated life like that. I was a thorny, thorny dude. And Jesus says, come here, we've had porcupines. Come here, you. And there may be in just now the Holy Spirit highlighting something, a struggle that you've had. Look, without going into this, I don't want to so long, but we have our world is in desperate pain over sexual matters. And the devil is going after kids and destroying with trafficking. Everything he gets his hands on. It's just as wicked as it can be. And it's increased. And there are people with such brokenness on the inside, both the perpetrators and both the abused, that need the help of Jesus. They're so, usually the perpetrators, it was done to them. So you have a broken culture. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus loves to the uttermost. He never rejects anybody over anything. As you come to Him and submit your thorns, He comes and says, I'm going to heal that. And this is the miracle. This is the miracle. Not only does the Lord heal you, He gives you a capacity to love others in the same situation. It is a phenomenon that you have a greater patience and a greater love. Because of the way that God has treated you, you treat others that way. Now, on the very bottom of your little paper there, it says, repent, renounce, break, and then bless. That's why I just wanted to put that down there. So here's what we want to do. I just want to ask if you have a need. Now, I know you prayed in the prayer circles, but if you have a need and you want to address that before the Lord, I have a faith rising in my spirit. I love it when that happens. This is going to work. This is going to work, okay? Now, just in your heart of hearts, Holy Spirit, come and show you the thing that you're struggling with. Just close your eyes, lift it before the Lord. The Lord's going to come and sweep through here and take a thorn out of your psyche. He's going to heal you. He's going to bring hope to you. He's going to cause something to transpire inside of you. Hallelujah. Now, there may have been, like we said, a care that's been worrisome. It's been burdened, and it could be a deceiving thing about money. It could be the desire for other things. It could be the pleasure thing. Just let's close our eyes, lift our heads, and identify that before the Lord. And let the Lord identify it to you. Say, son, daughter, I want to touch this thing in your life. I want to heal the bruise of this thorn in you. I'm going to heal the bruise. I'm going to heal the place, the scarring. I'm going to come and heal you. Now, there's some of you, faith, you can sense it right now. Faith is rising up. You've needed this. It's your desire. You said, where am I going to go and deal with this? And the Lord's saying, right here, honey, right here, right now. We're going to deal with it. I want you to bring it before the Lord like you would, like a little child with his finger, got a thorn in the finger. Just bring it before the Lord, that individually, right there. And I want to lead you in a prayer, and I want you to softly repent, and I lead you in a repentance, because somehow you got involved in something and you got hurt by it. Say, Father God, in the wonderful healing name of Jesus, I thank you that you forgive me for opening to this thorn. It is my desire to repent of my involvement with this thorn. I repent. I'm so sorry. I lift my head to you and I tell you, I need your help. Come wash over me with the blood of the Lamb and cleanse me and deliver me from the shame, the wound, the puncturing of this thorn in my life. And we're going to pray some more. Let's praise the Lord right now. Just praise him. Say, thank you, Lord, for that. Praise you for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now we're going to the next part. In the name of Jesus Christ, I come in your name, Lord, to renounce this thorn. I'm commanding it to leave me. I open to it, and now I close it. And I command it to be gone from my mind. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's praise him right now. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, as their pastor here, I just command the works of darkness, the hassling works of the enemy to be gone in Jesus' name. I take authority over in the spirit realm. I command every promotion of any demon power or tormenting spirit. In Jesus' name, I take authority over you. In the name of Jesus, I command you to loose and be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. Now let your heart open up. Let your heart open up to the deeper work of the Lord's love. We're going to say, Lord, say this right now. Lord, I break everything to do with my involvement with this thorn in Jesus' name. Can somebody praise the Lord with me here for a minute? Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now just lift your head. Lift your head to the Lord now. Lift your head. Hallelujah. Phew. Wow. We speak, Lord, your blessing. Your blessing. Come to this person in the way that they need to be blessed. If they've been struggling with rejection in their soul, I pray now you'd envelop them with absolute acceptance and love. Complete love and acceptance. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. For every person, I speak the blessing of the Lord's. I feel like the Lord is saying this. He said, there's biblical precedent. He says, wow, I feel like the Lord just said, son, I'm not only blessing them, I'm honoring them. I'm taking away the shame and I'm giving you double honor. Would you just receive that? Jesus is saying, I honor you for responding to me. Just receive the honor. The Lord is, he's kind. He's kind. He's thoughtful. He's sensitive. He cherishes you. He knows everything about your life, and yet you're the most valuable person to him. He cherishes you. He knows everything you want to do, and you know how he knows the things that he's put in you to do, and he knows how to get you there if you'll walk with him in it. It doesn't matter your age. Let that honor flow back. Would you do that? Just honor him back. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I think what we're going to do now is just have a pajama party. Would you stand with me? Let's stand together. I want to make sure that if you haven't begun your walk with the Lord, if you don't know, like I said earlier, you don't know what you don't know, but now maybe you know what you don't know and you need to start your relationship with Jesus, we want to help you grow in that. And so I'd invite you to come down and let us pray with you. And as you, here's the thing about the Lord just helps you wherever he can all the time. And this is the wonderful thing about the Lord. He'll help you when you don't know him. He'll help you when you do know him. He just helps people. That's just who he is. So, Lord, we just seal what you've done and what you're doing in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for binding mercy and truth to our hearts that we can walk with you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need further prayer, come on down or you're dismissed. Let's go fellowship together.